sponsor of everyone. Sponsor of everyone. Now your dreams have just begun. Sponsor of Hello, good evening. Welcome, everyone, to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl.
My name is Ash.
Isabel.
That's enough.
I'm sharing our middle names. Since everybody knows mine already, I thought I'd share yours.
Thank you.
Ash Isabel Jean.
Ashley Isabel Jean.
And I'm Cheryl Catherine.
And I am Ashley Isabel Jean. Fine. I was like, we share the whole thing with them?
Don't we have the perfect names for a country group?
Yes, we do, actually.
I could be Cheryl Catherine.
And Ash and Cheryl.
No, you'd be Ashley, Isabel Jean, Cheryl Catherine. They're here on our stage at the Grand Ole Opry.
The Grand Ole Opry.
I like how you do.
I'm not very good. Southern. I'm not very good at Southern, so.
Forgive her.
Yeah. Forgive me, but I...
She was born here in Vancouver, British Columbia, so she doesn't have a Southern accent.
Therefore, I am not very schooled.
In Southern, but you are schooled in West Coast dialect.
Yeah, exactly I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very odd, isn't it?
I think I'm pretty awesome.
I think that you're probably your main dialect word being here out in the West Coast and being you would be what, Ash? What's your favorite word?
Awesome.
Awesome!
My favorite word is awesome.
There you go. I think other people share that word, too. Today is August the 11th, and we are talking about monsters, manipulators, and psychic vampires identifying and overcoming.
Yep. Oh, wow.
That's our heavy-duty topic, man.
It's a heavy-duty topic, but it's also a really, really, really helpful topic.
Of course it is. You know, I was just thinking about our friend who you mentioned to me. She said that she thought some of our shows were what? What was the name? Negative, but they come to a positive outcome. I'm going to interject with that.
But
this is a good example of that because it's not that it's negative. The fact is that we live in a world of dark and light, positive and negative. Mm-hmm. And I think it's absolutely imperative for us as spiritual beings having this human experience to recognize and connect with not only our own darkness, but also others. Mm-hmm. The darkness of others, to understand it a little bit.
I also think I actually was just sending out the last of the texts because people like to text in questions, so I was just reminding them that the show was on.
Yeah.
And
for those of you who are too shy to call in.
Anyone that's too shy to call in, feel free to text one of us if you have our phone numbers. Yeah. Or tweet us, because that's very universal. So tweet us, and you can call in, like, give your input at least that way.
Well, we'd love to hear your input because we want to know your own personal experiences with this, what we're going to be talking about today. And also, maybe if you have any questions for us, you are more than welcome to ask us, and we are more than welcome to decide whether or not we want to answer.
Well, normally we will, unless it's something really weird. Like, last night at the gig, people were asking us our age. We were DJing last night, and people were asking us our ages and stuff. And some of them, or I guess that one guy got it really right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's odd, you know, to have someone come up to you when you're a professional. I wonder how many people get asked, hey, how old are you guys anyway, and what's your deal, when they're sitting behind a receptionist desk. Maybe other people have that experience, but anyways, we can be asked any questions that you choose. I'm going to just talk about the blurb pertaining to this particular show. How do we overcome the perils, confusion, or confines of another's destructive actions, minds, intentions, and or behaviors? The journey back to positivity and self-knowing is always within our grasp, yet how do we get there in safety and confidence, knowing that we are not truly threatened nor damaged by another's darknesses, nor by our very own? Mm-hmm. So I think it's imperative, as I said before, that we talk very openly about the topic of other people's darknesses, and I would also include our own, because maybe someone out there is not particularly wrestling with the darkness of another in their life, but their own darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who's listening. And I believe in the perfection that those of you who are listening are meant to. And we just want to connect with you with our blessings and say thank you for listening, whether it's in this real-time moment with us today or if it's in the future, because that also is not a coincidence. So welcome. And hopefully we can connect to your hearts and you to ours, and we can share very openly about this and all things, because that's what we're striving for, not only as people, but also as a band. And that would be transparency. And we would also encourage others on this planet to do the same. I think that if we were each transparent, there would be no war. And we would quite happily reside in love. So that being said, I was talking to Ash earlier about, let's preface this show with talking a little bit about what our definitions of monsters, manipulators, and psychic vampires are. And I want to talk briefly about psychic vampires. My inclusion to this particular topic and the title was both the word monsters and psychic vampires. And psychic vampire is something that came to me many, many years ago. Actually, it was because I was in a relationship with a particular friend, and this particular combination of words seemed to come together in description of what I felt in that relationship, and have actually felt in other relationships as well. But this particular one was the one that spurred it on, and I came up with that psychic vampire, and I was compelled at that time to actually start writing lyrics for a song. And I called it Psychic Vampire. And unfortunately, I don't have the lyrics with me. It's never actually become a song. It's just still a poem at this stage. But I came across them within the last week. And I don't believe in coincidences. So it sort of spurred my memory about that particular experience, as well as experiences since, mm-hmm. in dealing with people that I perceive and I call psychic vampires. And what I mean by that, and this is my definition, is psychic is pertaining to the spirit and pertaining to the mind and pertaining to the higher part of ourselves. That's what I see it as. And vampires, we all know, we're in a vampire culture right now. We seem to be obsessed with vampires. And the whole idea of vampires is they obviously want to suck your blood, but they're wanting to drain life. And so a psychic vampire to me is someone who is draining your spirit, your soul, in some way by their behavior. And Ash brought this to my attention too, by their particular manipulations.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. And the monster part is to me a person who is residing in that very antisocial place, has no sense of connection to others, to animals, to nature, often identified as a sociopath or a psychopath. Someone who has come to mind as a monster because of Thank You Television would be my new favorite, Dexter.
That's such a good show.
I love that show. So anyway, here's a story. If you don't know the Dexter series, it's on Showtime, of a gentleman who is a serial killer. But interestingly enough, it's shown to us in such a way that we are actually feeling empathic
mm-hmm.
towards the serial killer. We'll talk a little bit about this later, why. But he would be someone that most of us would consider a monster. And monsters are not only murderers, but they're also people who choose to abuse physically, even, I would say, emotionally and mentally, and who are rapists and cause a lot of harm to children and to women and to men alike. And that's my idea of a monster and psychic vampire. So that's who we're going to talk about today, is those particular individuals who, whether we are personally involved with them or we are indirectly involved with the news, and how many of us are subjected on a daily basis to monsters in the news, people who are performing mass murders. I read a horrific story that happened, I think, about February of this year, I believe it was, in South Africa, where a 17-year-old girl was gang raped and then mutilated and then left for dead with her stomach completely sliced open from sternum to genitals. And she actually did die in the hospital after she was found. But what I didn't realize in South Africa is that there are There is a one rape every 4 minutes. So, I mean, this story about that horrific crime towards that beautiful young girl spurred my interest in research in the problem that's in South Africa of why is it that men feel they can rape women every 4 minutes. I mean, I just, again, this to me, this is monsters. And I would say that it goes beyond and expands beyond just an individual man to a consciousness. And this is what we want to talk about too, is individuals as well as a group and collective consciousness. Do you want to talk a little bit about manipulators, Ash?
Well, I think we're, like, the topic is pretty broad. But, I mean, we've all had experience, like you said, with people who want to take something from us. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, friendship is give and take, whatever. But when you've, to me, this whole topic, this, in my experience, psychic vampires, to me, have always been somebody who doesn't want to share in your energy. They want to take it all.
Yes.
And because I've had people in my life that, you know, there's even some friends that I have now that, you know, I would gladly say this to their faces, but who are very taxing sometimes because they have a lot going on in their lives. And that's okay. And it's nice when you can, you know, they can vent to you or you can vent to somebody and, you know, you can just have that network of support or even that support in just one person. But after they're kind of done venting, or you're done venting, whatever it is, there's a certain respect that you have to have somebody for their own space, for their own emotions, for their own well-being. But a lot of times, sometimes people, even in their drama, to me, can really seem psychic vampire-y because they don't really know when to let up. It's like they want to take not just pieces of your energy with gratitude and, you know, want to replenish, but psychic vampires really don't want to replenish anything. They just want to take it from you and to the point where you have nothing left to give anyone, let alone them. And in my experience, even in certain relationships, I never understood how somebody could basically take all my energy to the point where I just feel so just drained, like done. And then the next minute they're back and yet they're still finding more somewhere. It's like, are they architects or can archaeologists and can just dig and find more of your energy that you can't even get to? It's like sometimes it feels otherworldly. It's like somebody can just come in and you know you have nothing more to give them, yet somehow they reach into the depths and take even more. How the heck is that possible?
I guess that's where the psychic part comes in.
Yeah.
Otherworldly.
I guess so. It's really weird. I don't know. That's what I don't understand. Like, have you ever been even, like, in a friendship or relationship where, you know, maybe there's a little bit of attachment on our parts to some person who, you know, let's just say it's a relationship and you're kind of refusing to see. Like, I have friends in my life right now who are in relationships and I'm just like, don't you see who this person is? Like, I can see that somebody's a psychic vampire when it's not so firmly attached to me. And instead of the word psychic vampire, because it's so long, I'm just going to use kind of like a toxic. Like, when somebody's really toxic to you, you don't really see it. But when someone's toxic to your friend, you can see it. And why is that? Is it because you're not psychically connected to that person or emotionally? What is it?
Well, you're asking me or asking our listeners?
I'm asking you.
We'll ask our listeners, too, because I think that's interesting. I've been really pondering lately this whole idea of New Age movement. It's not so new. It's been around for a long time, but for some people it's new. And I've been pondering the idea within this particular movement. I have a lot of people who are of the belief system or persuasion or impression or understanding that live and let live, which is cool. I love that live and let live. And yet there's also times where, okay, so I can live and let live, but if someone is causing an immense amount of pain or an immense amount of harm, whether it's to myself or to another person, am I supposed to just allow that? And this is where this whole idea of someone who's toxic, as you said, or, you know, a psychic vampire, someone who's a manipulator, or someone who's a monster, or acting in those behaviors of being one, because ultimately I think we're all absolutely beautifully divine, yet we forget that. Mm-hmm. And so we go into our fear mode and we start kind of lashing out and acting out in pretty dark ways. Now, when you have someone like Dexter, and there are...
I root for him, and I'm not crazy.
No, but I'm going to talk a bit, too, because I did some criminology, and I studied some people as a result of that. I loved... I'm just fascinated with forensics. I'm fascinated with criminology, and I was... I did a report on... One very loosely on Jeffrey Dahmer, but another one that was really an in-depth report that I did on John Wayne Gacy. And you probably know about him. Most people remember John Wayne Gacy as the man who was the clown. He was a contractor, mm-hmm. and he would be also, he was, you know, a children's clown in the off times for, I think, the Rotary or something. I can't recall exactly, something like the Kinsman or something like that. And that's how most people remember him, but he was, of course, a mass murderer. In looking at these people and sort of identifying them as monsters, as psychopaths, as sociopaths, and how they have no connection to society, to others' pain, to others' turmoil. And I think in this case, I'm kind of coming about in a roundabout way. It sounds really weird, but there are those of us, each of us, I think, in at one point in our lives have disconnected from how we abuse ourselves or allow mm-hmm. ourselves to be abused. And you're talking about someone like this, you're talking about from the outside looking in, you can see it. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually in it, you can't.
Right.
And so getting back to my thing about this New Age movement, like live and let live, when do we actually take action? Is it about constantly not taking action on this planet? Is that living and let live and sort of let your friends, for example, if you see a friend and you have knowledge that she's being physically abused or mentally abused or emotionally abused, do you sort of step out of the way and you say, you know what, that's your life path. I'm going to live and let live here. And that's something that you're choosing for yourself. I'm going to just allow that. Or are you in fact going to step in and say, I care for you. I see that you're being treated in a way that I don't think is healthy or mm-hmm. loving. And this is we talk about love, we talk about fear. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that you come from one or the other place. That's it. There's only two. Mm-hmm. And we break it all down. Are you coming from love or are you coming from fear? So there's that age old question for all of us is, when do you step out of the way? When is it that you allow something to mm-hmm. happen? And when is it that you become the warrior?
Yeah.
And say, this is unacceptable. And that's what I think that we're all kind of dealing with in our day-to-day lives.
Agreed.
So we have a caller, and we know who she is, and we welcome Barb. Hi, Barb.
Hi
from
there.
Canada. Hi.
Hey, Barb. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Well, I thought I'd tune in and listen to what you guys were talking about tonight.
Well, wow. That's so nice of you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We know that Barb comes from Inner Garden Online Chapel, and she used to have her own radio show.
Yeah, on BBS Radio, actually.
I know, and here you are coming back.
Yeah, before we got
there
our show, we actually were guests on Barb's show.
That's right, we were guests on your show.
Yeah, so this is old home week.
That's right. Here we are coming together. So what do you have to say, Barb? Because you have so much beautiful wisdom, and we'd love for you to share it with everybody.
Yeah, a couple of things is that, of course, I'm 100% online with what you guys are talking about. Because if you take a look at Phil McGraw's new book, there's a new code for the life. And he's saying that we have to kind of look at a new way of dealing with people because, you know, they don't have the same common sense or the same codes of ethics that we were brought up with. And, of course, we're looking at giving people the second chance and things like that. And then a lot of times we are getting ourselves into an emotional pencil sharpener again and again and again. So mm-hmm. we do have to kind of look at the fact there are just some people that, you know, you're not going to be able to get that relationship back. And then on the other hand, why would you want to?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because if they're going to continually dishonor you, or they're going to continue on with the type of things that's going to make you feel small or cause you some kind of pain, why do we really want to put ourselves back in an emotional pencil sharpener when we found out it hurt already?
That's
so
true.
This week, this week, I'll tell you, for your people that are listening that are hurting right now, they can go to a video that's 2 minutes and 43 seconds long, and it's by a fellow by the name of Trent Shelton, and it's called Break Your Own Heart. It's on YouTube. He's got loads of things on there. He's actually an NFL football player, as the son of a minister. Don't know if you've seen any of his stuff, but this one about breaking your own heart is just right down your alley right now to what you guys are talking about.
Wow. Okay.
Because what he says is, first of all, why would you be asking God to help you with getting with a relationship that basically is treating you so badly?
That's true.
You know, you already know that you're being treated badly. You already know their past. Trying to give people what they're, you know, marrying them or getting in a relationship because you think, quote, unquote, they have potential, he says. You don't do that. They may have all the potential in the world, but they never will develop that. So you have to see what they have in the relationship in the beginning.
That's so true, because even, like, I could share that wisdom with a few people in my life right now, and sometimes it's just you don't even know what to say, and that's the perfect thing to say. And even some of my friends have used, like, their faith in things, saying, you know, this is what God wants, and I have to try and fix this, or something like that.
I have to make it work.
Yeah, but it goes beyond that.
Boy, share that tape with them.
Okay.
You know, share that site with them. He's got a lot of other really good videos as well, but that one in particular, and I'll tell you, you guys know a situation. You know, here I am coming up 79 years old, and I still put myself in emotional pencil sharpeners now and again. And, you know, and say it hurts, put a Band-Aid on it, and stupidly put my finger back in again.
I think we all do that.
You know, we all do. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're learning something all the time or you're dying. But, you know, I took a look at that every once in a while I visit it. You know how when something has hurt you and then you revisit it, it's like you're doing it all over again. You know what I mean? And it, all that welted up energy comes up into your solar plexus, and what you want to cry, or you want to, you know, you want to be validated, or you want to be hugged and say it's going to be all right. You know, but three times this week, I have replayed that thing at 2 minutes, 43 seconds. How long does that take you? And the wisdom that young man has, and he was born in 84. So, I mean, he's not that old, but he's got the wisdom of Solomon, that boy.
Hey, Ash was born in 84. So, hey, they're both.
Yeah. So there, it's one of your angels that came in with you.
Yeah. What's his name again, Barbara?
It's Trent, and it's Shelton with a T, not a D.
S-H-E-L-T-O-N, Shelton?
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
And if you go into, definitely if you put in Breaking Your Own Heart, you will YouTube video, then you will get that, and you'll get what he has, and he has I watched about three of his stuff last night, and it was amazing. This young man is amazing.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you for sharing. I've never heard about him before.
No, I hadn't heard about him either, but he basically started, like, he was playing football. He's done all of that stuff, and he's come through that, and I think his foundation that he has is called Rehab Now or something like that.
Nice. Wow!
Yeah,
so you found comfort in it. You've used that video three times.
Well, three times this week.
This week, that's great.
Yeah, because certain situations, you know, aren't settled with what we went through. We are not settled yet, and you know, we're trying recovery here. So, and I have other issues in my family as well with health issues and things. So, you know, I was feeling really kind of. You know, you get a weepy day.
Yes.
And I thought, just go and listen to what he says again. And basically what he does is he validates you. That if you were smart enough to pull yourself out of that, why would you want to go back? into something where you know that somebody's going to mistreat you, abuse you emotionally or whatever. It doesn't even have to be a man-woman relationship. It can be friend relationship, you know. It could be like you and I being friends, and then I abuse that relationship.
Yeah. You know, well, it could be even colleagues. I mean, it's any kind of relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even in the working condition. Yeah.
You know, the one thing I'll share with our listeners, Barbara, that you're a reverend and a minister, and you've done a lot of counseling. And I've been in situations where I've done a lot of counseling, too, in the past. And I've worked with women who were abused. And one of the things, you know, why would you go back? And so many people do. One of the things I believe, this is what I believe from not only their experience shared, but also my own, is we want answers. We want to understand, because like I was saying earlier, is we have people and each of us have our light and each of us have our darkness. And when you're in relationship with someone, you can still see their divinity, whether it's a friend or a husband or a wife. You see that lighter, beautiful, divine, highest part of them. And then when their darkness comes out, it's confusing. And so in many states, you know, why would you go back? I think what it is, the reason why we go back, or why a lot of people in abusive relationships go back, is not only do they want understanding, because that person was not only showing that light to them at certain intervals of the relationship, but also telling them they love them. And so it confuses us.
Well, see, this is the thing that I found with this fellow. He answers both of those questions. One is, why would you go back into something that hasn't changed, you know? So basically, and the potential thing. What we're doing is we're seeing the potential of what that person could be, not what they are.
That's true.
And so what we do is we say, oh, well, you know, we've seen times when they were so good, and we've seen their potential, but they're not. Their behavior does not show that. And the other thing that he says, why would you ask God for answers when you already know? You've got all the pieces to the puzzle. You don't have to have God validate that, really. You know,
yeah,
your judgment was, you know, your judgment was good. But you stand back, you know, you get 6 months down the line. Well, you know, talking about counseling, we get somebody, for instance, say I'm counseling a woman that really is being abused. I never tell them they should leave. But I tell them, if you do leave, you are looking at 6 months down the line being very lonely in an apartment by yourself, trying to make it on your own, and you are going to have times when you look back and think, I should have, could have, would have, if I'd only done this or only done that, and you'll remember a lot of the good things and a lot of the mean-spirited things will disappear. You know, you'll remember what the potential was, if you want to go with what this guy says. And they fall back into that pattern. When they've had all the pieces, they've seen the full picture, the potential isn't being used. So whether they've got the potential, I mean, they've got a potential to be an angel, but they can be a killer.
That's right. Yeah.
That's totally true.
They've got a potential to live a sober life, but they're drunkard. You know,
yes.
So what we have to look at is what are you seeing there? In other words, it's past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior, which is what Tim McGraw says.
And I think that's great, Barbara, what you shared, and I'm really grateful that you've said these things, because I'm sure there's some people out there who are having these experiences, and perhaps they're even in that 6 month phase where they're, you know, second guessing themselves. That's what happens. We start to doubt our decisions. And I think in that instance, it's vital, absolutely vital, that each and every one of us has a good support network.
Mm-hmm. Well, even I'm telling you, I'm 79. I've been there, done that. I've counseled. I've done all the things. I've got all the tools in my toolbox. And I still second guess myself. Say, you know, maybe if I'd have handled it a little different, maybe if I'd have, the potential was there, as this guy said. That's why I had to go back in and push this button. The potential was there, but they weren't manifesting the potential. They were manifesting what was the reality that was going on. So I can't stay in a relationship because there's a potential of it being better.
Or even if there was a potential at some point and it was actually slightly realized, but got, and someone went back on it, because ultimately we're all, we have free will, right? And even if someone makes a decision that seems to be in the, I'll just say right direction, you know what I mean by that, but maybe in the healthy direction for the relationship, they could always retract it and go back because of fear to old stuff. So this is where I think a lot of the confusion is, when people are second guessing themselves, because yes, it's about potential, but we all have potential, and some of us reach it and some of us touch on it, right?
Mm-hmm. So, and I think some of us have a fear for whatever reason of coming to our highest and best.
Yes.
And how do we know that the person in that relationship may have a potential? Like, and I know even in my own life with people that I've counseled, they've been in relationships where potentially that relationship had both parties use their potential. They could be living on Easy Street financially. They could have a good relationship. They could be walking down the lover's lane and hugging on the beach, you know, even after 40 years of marriage. But they won't have, because neither one are using the potential.
Yes, and that comes from free will and freedom of choice. Yeah. And I was going to say, Marianne Williamson talks about that, about our light, the Nelson Mandela speech that she actually came up with through the Course of Miracles. And she talks about, who are we not to show our light, the highest of ourselves, so that we can help others to see their own. And that's very true. And not everybody's going to want to see their own highest light. And that's a tough thing for any of us, especially in a spiritual community or a spiritual relationship, what we believe to be a spiritual relationship, to look at where some people, even in these communities, truly aren't wanting to see the highest and the best. And that's that, for me, in my own experience, that's probably been one of the most sobering experiences I've had.
Mm-hmm. And also the most confusing.
Exactly.
Because why you think to yourself, why would people not want to go to the highest and best potential?
I know. I think that all the time.
You know, we can even say that with ourselves, you know?
Exactly.
Why will we not go to our highest and best potential? I mean, we're given a talent, a dream. Why will we not set our goals and go to our highest potential? It's sometimes fear.
Why is it so many times, though, that when you're in sometimes the most damaging relationships, they're somehow the deepest and the most like poignant relationships that you can have? Like, what's the relation between such depth and such
sickness?
Well, the other thing too is, let's face it, is all this part of our plan? You know, are these relationships come in to teach us something? And so once we're through them, it doesn't mean we have to condone it or stay in it. But once we're through it, maybe we should be able to forgive them and actually give gratitude for them being in our life, so that we learned whatever it was that we needed to learn, that we didn't have to go through that ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes it's just the worst places that we could be is where we pick up the most lessons.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of times we have fun, I think, is balance, you know, and we go out and have good times and all the rest of it. And that's balance. I mean, you and Ash and I could go out, you know, for lunch and giggle and have a lot of good time. But really, other than the fact that we just refilled each other's cup, we didn't really learn anything unless we were sharing something like we are right now. But, you know, if you're just out there having fun, kicking up your heels, it's a balance thing. It balances you, fills you up, so that your spirit's got some happy bubbles there to work with. But the most that we learn in our life is we learn mostly from those things that are tough on us, and they're the ones that we learn from.
Well, thank you so
much. The question I asked on my blog, and maybe you guys can answer this one, and I'll listen in. Why is it, okay, we as humans, you know the old cartoon where you used to have a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other one?
Yeah.
In the old cartoons. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
And then the devil would come in with a pitchfork and tempt somebody, and then on the other shoulder it was the angel saying, no, you don't need to go there. It's dangerous and stuff, right? And I just wrote a kind of a little blog on that this week. And why? This is for your question. Why will we allow ourselves to let the devil part of ourselves take over rather than the angel part? In other words, when somebody does do something to us, why are we not going to our higher self, to our angel self, and say, letting it go and letting God, instead of allowing the devil side of it to want to get vindication, want to get back, whatever the case may be? So that's another part.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, because we were just talking about this the other day, saying, you know, what is it that, you know, even as a psychic, how come we can't see when somebody's trying to pull one up on us? And it's kind of like the same thing, like, do we, like, indulge that or do we not? Like, shouldn't we go to our light side and say, this is not good, move on?
Or, you know, or maybe something has to be realized. And who's to say which is the devil and which is the angel? I think
well,
we have to,
you know, some,
we
some
have
of that
to rework the cartoon. I think
yeah,
now.
And the thing is, too, that as you're saying, as psychics, you say to yourself, well, why didn't I see that? You know, I can see it for other people. Why didn't I see that situation coming? Well, it's because I needed to have that lesson. If I didn't need to have that lesson, I would have seen it coming.
That's what I
And then
like
I can go back on the lesson and see what I contributed to that. No, I can tell you for myself, the latest incident that I had was not standing strong in my own power a year and a half earlier.
So you recognize that?
Oh, I know. And I learned something from that, and I will not need to go through it again to learn it again.
Well, that's good.
I need to stand, a moment. So, you know, regardless of who is the person that is the vessel of carrying that situation, you needed to learn it. You got the learning. You don't need to go through it again. So, like this fellow says, why would you go back into a situation where people disrespect you or where people are harming you or hurting you or belittling you or whatever is going on there, you know?
Well, how do you, like, here's a question for you. How do you, in your life, maybe you can share with our listeners, how have you been able to identify somebody, quote-unquote, who's kind of psychic vampire-ish and taking from you? How do you identify that, especially if there's somebody who's close to you?
Well, the thing is, no different than anybody else. When your emotions are involved with it, it blinds your intuitiveness. Because you get flags. You know, Tim McGraw, Dr. Phil McGraw, he talks about the fact that there are always red flags. But when the red flags go up, you talk yourself out of those red flags because you want them to be the person you see them being, not the person they really are. So in the case of relationships, man-woman relationships or, you know, loving relationships or whatever the case may be, sometimes you love what you think they are, not what they are.
That's for
and
sure.
And so the thing, you know, so this is it. But as far as, like, if it is somebody that I can actually see is using me, and then I know that I'm allowing it, then at a certain point I have to not allow it anymore.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I, if you remember the book I wrote, Don't Stand There Sucking Your Thumb, I've put in there that you will stay in a negative relationship no matter how painful it is, as long as you're getting a benefit somewhere. Now, a lot of people out there are going to tell you they're not getting a benefit, but they are if they're still in it. Whatever that benefit may be, if that benefit might be, I'm not having to live alone, or that benefit might be that there's a check coming in. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. I know exactly what you mean, and that's totally right. It's not, nobody's ever in a situation where they're not getting some kind of a benefit.
Matter how miserable it is, they have to be getting a benefit, because when there's no benefit, they will get out of it.
And sometimes it's just about fear, Barb. Sometimes people are actually it's fear of the unknown, and they don't know who they'll be without that particular person or situation. And so oftentimes the benefit is just fear of change.
Well, but there's an old saying for that, better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
That's right. And so a lot of people are in that situation where, and I've actually talked to people who are spiritual, and I say, well, why would you be afraid if you have this faith and you believe in a power outside yourself that will look after you and has proven it already throughout your life? Why would that stop now?
Mm. And I think, you know, we have a comfort zone that's like a big circle with a post in the middle. And there's a minister in the States, and I cannot remember his name, so excuse me if you happen to be listening that I don't remember your name. But he said he made a 25-lane highway to the edge of his comfort zone and back to the center post where you hold on to security. You'll never get your dream inside your comfort zone. If we could, we'd all have all our dreams. So you have to step outside the comfort zone and have that faith. But sometimes we make, you know, an 18-lane highway or whatever to the edge of the comfort zone and run back because the fear keeps us from stepping outside of the comfort zone because we don't know what we're getting there.
And that's where faith comes
in. Anyway, I'll let you guys go in case somebody else wants to phone in.
So thank you, Barb, because I'll speak for both of us and say that we really believe that your wisdom has the power to heal a lot of people.
Yes, and we thank you for sharing it so openly and also letting us all know that it's true, we're always learning. It doesn't matter if we're 25 or 79. Constantly, we're learning, we're evolving, we're exploring, we're realizing, and thank you for sharing that so openly.
And we should have that lunch that you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely, that'd be fun.
You bet, and then we can kick up our heels and laugh.
That's right, because laughter is also a very important part of our life here.
Yeah, we'll email
you,
okay?
You know what? Then we can fill up our teapot so we can help these ones that are blood-suckering us.
Yes!
We'll send you an email.
Thank you, Barb. We love you. Thank you so much
for
your call.
Love you. Okay, Dawn. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
She's awesome.
I know she is. I'm really glad she called in. So thank you, Barb, for calling in and sharing
your
wisdom.
She makes things make sense. Like, to me, like, the world has just been, like, you know, so, not dark, but just kind of like, you know, when it's just on.
Perplexing?
Yeah.
Monotonous?
And then Barb Leonard calls.
Well, I think it's really important. We didn't really touch on the manipulating side, but it's important for us. Like, we were talking about that. If we're sixth sensory, in touch with our sixth sense, and if we're, you know, that's called being, what, psychic or, you know, whatever you want to call it. If we have this ability, and this is what I actually have had someone say to me, well, if you're a psychic, if you, you know, how could you not see that one coming? That's always been my belief. It's because I wasn't meant to. But in all honesty, I still do kind of go, why didn't I? Because I'm so usually quite dead on intuitively. Why couldn't I pick that up for myself? And I do come to the understanding with my own relationship with spirit, with creator, that that was part of my experience. That was part of something that I needed to experience, needed to know.
And it's not about manipulation, like, because people even ask psychics, like, oh, well, why don't you pick the winning lottery numbers? And, like, that's something that...
That's called time travel, man. That's when you go, you know, forward in time and get the numbers and come back in time.
But that's not even... I don't believe that that's something that a psychic should do anyway.
I don't think so at all.
That's manipulating free will, and that's never good to play with.
No, because there's probably someone else who either they need it more or they also need the lesson more.
I want to win the lottery, though.
I think everybody on this planet wants to win the lottery. I think that's, you know, everybody, we all have our times in traffic where we're dreaming of our $25 million and how we're going to spend it.
I play Set for Life.
Okay, well, then you're $200,000.
No, it's like 600 and something thousand, okay?
Well, whatever it is.
It's $1,000 a week.
But that it's not about manipulating fate. It's about allowing our fate. And part of our fate, part of our destiny for each and every one of us are the experiences with all sorts, our own darkness, our light, others' darkness, their light. It's about being able to make choices. It's about the freedom of choice. So I think the reason why, well, for me personally, why I wanted to talk about this subject is because I know a lot of people are in pain, and I know a lot of people are in pain because they've made certain choices and they're feeling that they're, how about powerless? And I say None of us are ever powerless, but sometimes we forget that. And I think it's about being kind to ourselves. I think it's about being understanding, and instead of judging ourselves and saying we've made mistakes, just looking at our life choices and saying, well, hey, I've made this choice. You know that saying, you made your bed, lie in it? Well, yeah, okay, you can make your bed, you can lie in it, but you can get out of it. And it doesn't mean you get out of it and you beat yourself up for lying in it. It's just about going forward, moving forward.
Exactly. Always moving forward. You can unmake your bed, you can torch your bed and buy a new one. You don't have to live in some kind of constraint that, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe in the saying, make your bed and lie in it.
Well, that's why I said that, because I we go beyond it. Like I was saying to Barb, I actually had that discussion, if you remember, Ash. I was talking about the angel and the devil, and I was just exploring that whole idea of the dark and the light, and take the light path. No, go the dark path. I really truly believe we do have to reconfigure this whole idea of darkness and lightness in terms of how it affects us and what part of it us we are. Like, we, instead of us saying we're not dark and just being freaked out, just say, hey, we all have some kind of darkness inside us. It's part of human nature, being human here. Why can't we reconcile ourselves with it? It's not like you, it's kind of like in recovery, they say what you resist persists. And I believe this is true when you're resisting so much, any kind of a dark thought. Generally, when you have secrets, you know, there's another saying, secrets keep you sick. When you're doing something secretively and you know it's not the best for you or the best for someone else, the secret is going to, in fact, not only make you sick, but it comes out in ways that it affects others around you. Well, the same goes with what you're resisting, because when you're resisting certain aspects of yourself, then they just come out, it's called sideways, all over the place. So maybe there's something you don't like about your personality, and you're trying to, for example, control your temper. And the more you try to control your temper, the more you will generally and most often get more angry, because you are lost in the control, and in the control of it, it becomes controlling of you. So even again, about surrendering and letting go and trying not to resist certain things, and in the process though, still allowing how you feel truthfully, like be real. I get angry. I get pissed. I let people know, and Ash is raising her eyebrows right now. But it's not about being destructive. I have been destructive when I've actually been attacked. If I get attacked, I mean, I'm not, sometimes I say this, I wish I was Gandhi. If someone attacks me, I wish I could say, oh, bless you, brother, bless you, sister. And I always come around to that. But initially, I am not feeling that. I am feeling like you have overstepped your bounds. You're being unkind. You are being unkind to yourself, to me. And this isn't okay. And I'm going to tell you it's not. So, I mean, we all deal with certain things in our life in our personal, very characteristic ways. And I don't think that any of us should try to change for any religion or any kind of a doctrine. I do believe that we should focus on love. And that's what gets me through things, is when I get back to focusing on love, I can have my little mini, like, how dare you, and you're a this and that, how dare you, I'll get you back. Like what Barb was talking about, you know, when we want someone to have consequences, if someone has caused us a lot of harm or pain, and we've all been through this.
Oh, yeah.
We go, why can't you feel that? I want you to feel that much harm. I want you to feel that much pain.
Yeah, I agree.
And we all, I think most of us, except for maybe Gandhi, go through, or Mother Teresa, go through that feeling of, wow, how could you do that? That's so not okay.
Yeah.
But coming right back again through our process, and it also is about self-forgiveness. And coming back to love. And it's not about staying in relationship with them. It's just about kind of having a nice distance, kind of saying bless you as you go on your way.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? There you go. Have a nice life. Waving in the distance.
And if somebody, and I'm sure that we all can, you know, we've all had the experience of, you know, coming out the other end. And it's okay that, you know, sometimes, like, for me especially, like, I obviously haven't talked to many people about this, but I've stayed in relationships or friendships or situations sometimes too long. So when I come out the other side, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? But then I'm going, okay, instead of asking yourself, what was I thinking, ask yourself, what did I learn? because that's the only thing that's got me through. Because let me tell you, like, I would be having the worst self-esteem in the world thinking I was so stupid for half the things I've done. Like, seriously, I have been in situations where I've, you know, been either in relationships or friendships with pathological liars and, you know,
manipulators,
hardcore manipulators, yeah, yeah, and just people who, just toy with your emotions, like just keep you on a string. And I've really learned a lot about it. Just about the human condition in general, that, you know, there is a lot of light. And darkness can be turned into light, but it's not up to you to make somebody else some way.
No, it's up to them. And Barb's right. You know, how can we, if nothing changes, nothing changes. That's what, you know, if we can't see, if we only see the potential of someone, and we, and I mean, don't pay attention to words, pay attention mm-hmm. to actions. And that's what where I got lost,
yeah,
is I would listen to the words and I would turn a blind eye to the actions, because yeah, I would just hang on for dear life to the words.
Oh, yeah.
And then the actions were like in direct conflict with the words. And I'm going, what? Like,
oh, yeah.
And wanting to believe in the words. So pay attention. Actions are powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Much more powerful than someone's words.
Oh, yeah.
And can I answer your question? I wanted to answer your question when you asked her, why is it like you're the deepest emotionally connected and yet you have the most pain?
Yeah.
I think it still ties in with there is something extreme for you to experience and learn. So that's why you connect so readily.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe, because I've had the same experience. And there was something, I connected so readily to somebody that it was, ultimately didn't last because mm-hmm. of pain. And so I recognize that the reason why I did that is because I had to be in that position to get to
true.
The other side, to have an understanding and a new awareness about myself.
Yeah, that's true.
Never mind about the other person, but a new awareness about me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Dawn, are you there? Are you able to run one of our commercials before we say goodbye to everyone?
One of our beautiful spots from our sponsors.
In the field of balanced intuitive healing and information, Cheryl Catherine Smith is one of a kind. Not only is she a musician, licensed spiritual minister, and co-host of the radio show Hologram Radio on BBS Radio, but she is also a sought-out and skilled intuitive medium and spiritual counselor. She takes you beyond the scope of space and time into firmly believing not only in yourself, but also the firm knowing in the continuation of life. There is no death, there is nothing to fear, and we are not alone. With years of experience in healing, health, ministry, and metaphysics, rest assured your time together will be everything you hoped. Half-hour or full-hour readings available by phone, email, or Skype. Email for info and bookings, Cheryl_CatherineSmith@hotmail.com.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don. That is actually a really great commercial spot made by one of Cheryl's friends. And
I'm grateful that he did it for me.
Yeah, because you know what? It's so awesome that Cheryl is a really great intuitive. She's helped me and a lot of people I know through a lot of stuff. So if you are looking for a reading, I definitely want to put that out there that she is there.
Well, thank you, Ash. I appreciate that. And we just wanted to encourage you to love yourselves, love each other to the best of our ability. And don't forget to kiss a tree, because it's about connecting to nature and to all that is.
And don't forget to check out Barb's chapel, the Inner Garden Chapel.
Yeah, and she can be found, it's Inner Garden Balance Point, and they have, they were online, I think they still are, sorry Barb, I didn't ask you, but there's some online presentations that you might find interesting. She's got great speakers that come to her church, and she's given me the privilege of speaking there too.
Me too.
And Ash as well, and we've performed there musically. So, check her out online, Balance Point Inner Garden, and that was Barbara Leonard. So thank you again, Barbara, for calling in and for sharing your wisdom.
And anyone listening, just know that you can catch us every second week, and if we're not doing a live show, we're doing reruns, so... But we usually try and do live.
Yes, we try to be here live for you. So kiss a tree, And all the best to you. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
See you later.